All right, now it's on. So as always, calls are recorded. You gotta be a member of the group to contribute to specs, though these calls are open to anyone. We're under W3C Code of Conduct. Let's get started. Is anybody new here that want to introduce themselves? And if not, are there any community announcements? Fortunately, I think not too much is going on in the space right now, pre-holidays, everybody's.
Yeah, that's probably the announcement, which doesn't need any announcement.
That's right.
It's getting into that last tail end of the year, and so we might have people that have either already taken some time, which is good.
Yeah. It's very pleasant. Although I do know of a couple of education-related teams that are like, oh no, we gotta do something by the end of December, either to spend the budget or to ship something. So I know some people are burning midnight oil. But hopefully it's, nobody here. Okay. So, in that case, no announcements, no introductions. Let's move on to our main agenda, which is, hey, do people have questions, discussion topics, or just tell us what you're working on? We're always interested in if you're working on a pilot or documentation, issuing, verifying, whatever, vaguely related to credentials and or education. Please feel free to raise your hand, hop on a queue. Simone, yeah.
Yeah, all right. I have one. It is really about asking the WannaTech Open Badges Working Group to run a retro on the current implementation of Open Badges 3. So, in other words, there is a number of issuing platforms now being certified OB3, and I mean, as we know, OB3 are VCs. I think it would be beneficial to just really look at the code. I mean, how have these credentialing platforms implemented version 3 of Open Badges? I mean, how much of the verifiable credentials, dowry or like specifics have been implemented? Like, namely, are these platforms using decentralized identifiers as identifiers for issuers or recipients, and the likes of that. So while it's a bit more on them to officially call that particular review, you know, I would normally we have people from WannaTech here, and it feels like it matters to us to understand how far, you know, did we miss the target in terms of making Open Badges verifiable credentials, or what's maybe the signal? It's just that we're on a journey and there's a lot more that can be done. But so again, to restate that, I've already teased this idea with WannaTech, but I wanted to discuss it here as well and see what other people think, to ask any credentialing platforms that have been certified to share a sample credential, so we look under the hood and everyone knows what everyone else has implemented. I mean, ultimately, these are open standards. So,
oh, I especially like the share a sample credential part. That's a really good data set.
Yeah, I mean, I know that some might feel, yeah, hopefully, organization won't feel like this is, I mean, there's nothing secret. I mean, those are open standards. So like those credentials can be downloaded once they're out in the wild. So I'm curious to see what kind of collaboration there is. And hopefully this will give us more insights on how have we done. You know, is this certification worth something really? Like, you know, cause I know for a fact that, for example, some OB3 certification doesn't require to use DIDs, right? And so, you know, I expect some platforms that are certified did not use Deed, and they might still be using emails, for example.
Yeah, great question. Ildiko, you're on me.
Just a general question to follow that up is whether we have anywhere, not necessarily in the VC for Education Task Force, but a shared repository or Google Doc folder or OneDrive folder where we could collect maybe even a wider range of structured credential examples. I'm always more interested in seeing these I really enjoyed the micro-credential schema mapping exercise, but as we discussed at the time as well, it's barely scratching the surface. There's so much more good stuff that we could do, and it would be very interesting to see various interpretations of, for example, micro-credential through the actual artifacts. So if anybody could direct me to somewhere where I could find a few open badges or VCs, of that sort, that would be great.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think a lot of people, especially dev teams that are starting on something, would love to see that. The closest thing to such a repository, I would say, is the diff credential schema. Here, I'll throw a link. But you know what I'm talking about. It's that spec where Kim and the diff team are collecting various examples. I wonder if we can make it even easier for people to share by we can kickstart just a Google Doc that say, hey, you know, just paste yours right below, right? So that you don't have to make a pull request to the repo or anything like that. Just like informally paste something here. I think that would be an amazing start. Oh yeah, so let me find anybody else. Does anybody else know of any repositories of samples of verifiable credentials for people to look at? Yeah, here we go. Diff credential schema standards. Yeah, and I think Diff, just like us here, has here it is in Jitsi chat. I think Diff, driven by the exact same motivations as what we just mentioned, wants to start collecting more schemes as well. But yeah, let's just kick off a Google Doc. We can share it to the VC EduDrive and pass it around here and on the mailing list. Cause I think it would be interesting. We got a little bit of that effect, by the way. Last year at the JFF Plugfest. So that would probably be the closest thing we have to sample credentials that a bunch of implementers, issuers, verifiers, and wallets interoperate with. But those were, yes. Simone, go ahead.
I think we should also differentiate what schemas are just test environment schemas that are fabricated to, you know, show interrupt, and what are schemas that come from a credential that has been issued in production to a learner, you know, and, you know, make that distinction. Because, I mean, in a lab, we can produce a lot of schema and we can collect a list of different specs, but increasingly, I'm more interested in seeing where that traction is, like where that adoption is at scale or in a production environment. Not like in most of our circles, we, you know, we can create a new schema. We can argue over a label and a metadata element, but like what do these credentials look like out in the wild now that we have again, I go back to that OB3, like platforms are certified, you know, supposedly they are issuing, you know, clients, they have customers that are issuing those types of credentials. And so that is a bit more of a reality check that I'm looking for.
Yeah, but I think actually labels are important. Just the last couple of meetings that we had about the multilingual credentials and the major minor discussion, the field of education. And I vividly remember the definition or the interpretation of evidence in at least the OB standard and the European learning model. I think this is why I think sharing examples, whether artificial but realistic samples or real life credentials, as you suggest, Simona, they would probably bring to light or to the surface important questions about interpretation, because we can stare at the schemas and see, yep, that's a close match, it's an exact match, but how these schemas are used in real life, and then to compare and say, ah, okay, so this is one way of interpreting. This is such an important key to interoperability, not just the matching, but also what we call crosswalk, I think.
Agreed. Yeah. So, hey, let's do this, two-tiered mechanism. We'll start up a Google Doc for anybody to paste and comment. And then of the ones that are a bit more formalized, we can pass them over to the Diff credential schema repository for the spec. For those of you who are just joining us, we were talking about whether there is a if there's any example credential repositories that we know of that for us to look at. Because the first thing, at least I ask whenever talking to somebody who's considering implementing credentials or is in the process of a pilot is, hey, can you send us a copy of your, of the raw JSON of the data model that you're using, right? So we can judge whether, how heavy of a lift it would be to make our software compatible with it and so on. So I think everybody wants it. Nobody doesn't want it. So let's just make it happen. Yeah, and so I totally agree with Simone that we of course want to get a sense for test sandbox credentials and ones in production. Though I do want to caution that even that is not indicative of a standard set in stone, because even in production, it's still, schemas are evolving, teams are learning, right? So for example, one of the universities in the consortium, I think it was McMaster's University, started issuing diploma credentials, I think even as early as like 2 years ago, right? So it's in production, but I wouldn't say that, yes, that's a finalized spec, everybody should use it, right? Like, they've learned a lot from it. It was best guesses at the time. So we want to make sure to not set schemas in cement. But of course, we also want to be interoperable. It's the usual razor's edge that we try to walk. In standards land. All right, anyone else? Is there any other questions, challenges that your teams are running into, or topic discussions, such as what are we going to do with internationalization? And just to answer my own question, oh, hey, Ildiko, go ahead.
It's just if nobody else is, I can still go back to what you just said, Dimitri, about the schemas and their use. I know exactly how the schema is as good as it can be applied to the real life cases. And I know that you all know that the European learning model is super sophisticated. It can be used to document anything about learning, learning opportunities, credentials, accreditation, whatever. But for example, some of our implementers who are issuing degrees, they are barely using the compulsory properties to document the credential. And that's, I don't know whether that could be considered as an underutilization of the potential of a model, but it's also quite important to take note of how easy or difficult some of the models are. It's certainly there, I see that there is a sweet spot or there are advantages of maybe simpler or more crude structuring of data and not taking advantage of the complexity or the nuance, whether it's the subject, thematic subject area or the qualification framework level. If it's not important for the user, the credential issuer, then it's even if it's there in the model, it's I don't know if it can contribute towards good examples, right?
Yeah, agreed. And in general, developer usability, or just to put it plainly, how easy is it for developers to understand the data model and to come up with variations of it? That's huge, of course. And I think we all know that both in the area of credentials in general and education in specific, those are not the easiest specs and examples to understand, which is why we want many, many examples for developers to look at.
If I may jump in here, it is quite ironic that still some of the most valuable credentials, and valuable here is an arguable term, like higher stakes credentials like diplomas, have a data schema that is very slim. And if you look inside any diplomas, PhD, master level degree, it's like four maybe for data elements. Look at whatever you have, you know, hanging on your wall. That's likely what you'll find in those higher stakes credentials, right? They require a higher level of scrutiny, verification. So kind of the reasons why we're building all this additional privacy and security. And those are very slim. So all that more articulate, expressive ways that we have, they're not in use. And they're not really solving, you know, any additional problem for diplomas, right? A different story when you move to transcripts of records, for example. When you have new credentials that can carry skills definitions and alignments of framework and so on. But let's say you look at higher ed or like any professional certifications, like the core of it is very lightweight. And the other piece is that often when these credentialing platforms are integrated into enterprise systems like learning management system or student information system, I'd say student information system, more importantly, you know, a credential is only as good as the data that comes from the upstream student information system. And so if you're only pushing through the key data elements to produce a diploma, that's all you're going to find inside the credential. But frankly, that's also the only thing that verifiers are going to care about, because they want to verify that you did graduate with a master's degree. So again, it is an interesting tension that we deal with every day. So, and you only really unpack it if you get into more reality check mode. Like, I want to have more flexible and comprehensive schemas, but like, are they used? And if they're not, is that bad? Or is that just an overkill for some use cases? They're never going to be used because there's no data to populate the credential anyway.
And, you know, sometimes there is data, but interestingly, and this was counterintuitive to me, seeing our implementers being more able to build data-rich smaller credentials, and where it would have greater value to have granular data for diploma degree-type credentials. It was just so overwhelming, the workload or the effort that some of the people engaged with the credential building had to take on themselves, that they just decided to start slim and code the highest level for the most interesting or most valuable properties of the credential. And they just said, well, maybe further down the line, next year, we will further elaborate on our templates and we will issue more complex credentials. And interestingly, when it comes to other documents that have traditional structures like transcripts of records, there where you see more information on the paper version, it's easier for people to feel like they really need to document the same information digitally as well. So interestingly, then they do take on the higher level of workload just to comply with the paper equivalent. So that was very interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing we see a lot, because so we hear this question a lot, like, okay, we're interested in testing out verifiable credential. What should we start with? Transcript, diploma, student ID, or course credential? And I always recommend you should probably start with whatever the lightest lift, probably a course credential. Because for an issuer to sign off on a schema for a transcript, that, imagine how many stakeholders, at least here in the US, right? How many stakeholders it involves, like the registrar, the lawyers, like it's the primary export of a university. And so everybody cares about it. Whereas if you just like pick a professor and pick a course to try on and say, yeah, just do that, there's much less sign off. It's not the full university behind it. It's something you can try. Yeah, good. Uldiko mentions in chat that same deal in Europe. Yeah. I didn't want to assume, but yeah. Briefly going back to internationalization. So we've got a situation where we have at least three different multi-language credential mechanisms in use. Only one of which is supported by Open Badges version 3. So I highly suspect we need to file some issues if we haven't already on the Ruby v3 spec and say, listen, here's the other mechanisms. Let's have a roadmap for when we can support those as well. And by the other mechanisms, I mean, of course. So there's the related mechanism that Open Badges uses for translating credentials. There's the European Learning Data Model internationalization scheme. And then there's just the general verifiable credential VC Data Model 2.0. way of internationalizing. So we do need to align on that stuff eventually. Anyone else? Questions, concerns? Charis, how do we feel about making one of our roadmap goals for next year, which is to issue verifiable credentials of membership in the group. Like, you're a CCG member and you attend a call, here's a VC Edu badge. Verifiable credential. We can totally do that.
I'll build a sample and we'll add it to a Google Doc.
please do, right? Like, we could be the first, task force or group in a W3C. Yeah. Let's do it. We can lead by example.
Yeah, that would lead into a conversation around what additional metadata elements we might have for that. but yeah, anything. I think just looking really at the use, focusing on the use of these new credentials, like whether it's OB3 or verifiable credentials, but going under the hood and collecting some of those examples, I feel that could get us closer to real use cases and the real challenges of implementing this stuff, which might not be all technical. Like, I can develop an issuing service that pushes credentials into a wallet. Like, who's using it? I'm increasingly more interested in those reality checks. Like, what would have to be true for this to be a success? And I think if we look also at some of the sentiments coming out of digital identities as sort of the overarching umbrella of credentials, there have been signaling of reality checks. So, like, how do we get this ecosystem to work? Like, what do we need? Who's not connecting? And where is the incentive on doing this? And are we just changing? I heard somewhere, I can't quote this correctly, but in order to change behavior, you need to make it like 10 times better. Something needs to be 10 times better. Like, we're asking everyone to just start using verifiable credentials, like over paper, let's say. Let's make it tell me what are the metrics that makes that 10 times better? And so, like, how do we convince people to change how they're doing things today? Yeah, it's a bit of an extreme, but overall, I think, at least personally, that would be one research question that I want to go after next year. Maybe this is also something that we can fill our agenda with.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The 10 times better thing is tough, right? Because I think it's really, Kalia points out in chat, that this relates to the diffusion of innovation theory.
I think we're closer to making it 10 times worse right now. I want to be as bold as making that famous or someone. Yeah, thank you, Kalia. It's certainly like, in terms of UX parity, we're not there. Feature parity, maybe we have additional features that, in some use cases might work, like selective disclosure. That is, for example, like very questionable in education. Can you hide your bad grades and so on? But, like, there is room for improvement. That's what I meant.
Simone, I tried to raise my hand, but couldn't do it very successfully. Another way of looking at it, rather than saying 10 times better, is to think of a force diagram. So what are the forces pushing things forward, and what's the forces pushing it back? So, and then you can help build on the forces pushing it forward and neutralize the forces pushing back. So forces pushing back might be political. We've always done it this way. It might be financial. To change our systems and processes is going to be expensive. It might be ownership, but analyzing those forces in play can often help you identify why things are not happening that seem obvious that they should be happening.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Thanks, Eric. The other reason that I think we should take it on as a roadmap item, specifically issuing a verifiable credential for membership to the task force, or like having attended a call, is if we write it up as a case study, because it's a use case that everybody can understand, right? Just membership in a group. But in when you start getting down to the details, what's the data model going to be? And what's going to be the operational friction of, like, what does it mean that there's three co-chairs? How is the signing key going to be stored? Well, we could all, like, paste the seed for the signing private key into our password managers, right? But until, or we can use a key management system on the cloud. But until you read a case study and realize that, oh, in order for me to issue even the simplest of credentials, somebody needs to control the signing key and how you do that organizationally. I think that might be helpful for people. It says, Grace Rakhmani is working on this use case. Yeah. Which use case? Group membership?
Yeah, group belonging, group membership as like her primary focus.
Very cool. Do you have a link? Is there like group or project?
I have documents that I'm not sure are public yet, but I could definitely introduce her and invite her, like, and you guys could see if she's a fit.
Yeah. Yeah, could you do that? Yeah, just like start an email thread. CC Ildiko, Simone, and myself, and her, and just be like, hey, come talk about group membership at VC Edge. That would be wonderful. Thanks, Cleo.
No problem.
Other thoughts, questions? I think a couple of IIWs previously, IIW itself was, I think, offering conference attendance badges through
some ambitious startups were working on that and like piggybacked off us for, but I don't know, nice. It didn't necessarily come from us, right? But
right,
we were
right,
like,
right,
oh, right. God. I think we're actually getting to the point where for IIW 40, it would be great to do, honestly. You know, I think people also don't understand how incredibly budget constrained IIW is. Like
for sure.
It does what it does really well, and there isn't a lot of cushion around that just for fun, interesting projects. So,
listen. Yeah. David Ward in chat points at sigstore.dev and asks a question of would it be possible to use something like that to do short-lived keys? Simone asks in chat, would you rather want a t-shirt or a credential? How about both? A t-shirt that is a credential. Just print the QR code and you're done. David, do you want to speak to your question?
Sure. I keep getting kicked out, so I'm not sure.
Well, we can hear you. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, Sigstore, like, that's for software right now, but it allows for short-lived throwaway keys that get created and used to sign something, and then the chain can be followed. And then you can see who did the signing, but you don't actually have to have the infrastructure or a way to keep those keys around for a long period of time. So it makes it a lot easier on the issuer side to have something that is very minimal infrastructure.
It does. It does. What that requires to make it work is issuer registries, essentially. You need an issuer registry mechanism that is flexible enough to to be able to show that, you know, I delegated to the signing key, even though the key itself like lasts for an hour or whatever.
Right.
I delegated to it from the, you know, top level key. Or so yes, like something like that would definitely be possible. I just don't think we're there yet infrastructurally and specification wise.
Yeah, well, I definitely specification wise in terms of how to do the signatures and such to get there, but it's a path that we might want to look at.
Yeah, it's a really good point. All right. Last call. Other thoughts and questions? Otherwise, we can end a bit early. Give everybody a chance to go get coffee. And I really appreciate the discussion so far. This has been interesting. All right. Takeaways. Let's start a Google Doc for VC samples, and let's issue group membership credentials. And thank you all. Let us all reconvene after New Year's.
Thank you, everyone. See you in the new year.
Cheers. Thanks.